Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Given that I've had David and Ethan sleeping on the floor of my parents' living room for a few months, I'm grateful that one of those brothers has not killed the other one yet. I'm also grateful that nobody has called Child Protective Services yet, or the local homeowners association. Our Old Testament lesson today, on the basic level, captures something obviously as old as the first siblings, sibling rivalry. Each dyad, brothers and sisters, sisters and sisters, or brothers and brothers, tends to have its own unique form of rivalry. It might be unique to brother and brother to escalate to murder. That doesn't mean the others can't go bad in their own ways. Now, that sibling rivalry can often start where I think it does in our text. Genesis 3:15 is often quoted as the first promise of Christ. Speaking to Satan, the serpent, God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel." Offspring is singular. The promise waits for a singular son of Eve, which is exactly what I think Eve was thinking in what she says at the start of our text. "I have received the man with the help of the Lord." This isn't just any man or son. Eve thinks she has received the son of the promise, the one who will crush the head of Satan, the one that tricked her. But then she conceives again, and it's just Abel. Sons try and please fathers and mothers. Fathers and mothers place all kinds of expectations upon children and sons, up to and including that this one is the golden child, the one that will save us, the one of all the expectations. I think that's what's floating around in the Cain and Abel story. Cain was the man. This was the man who was supposed to win back the approval of God by crushing the serpent. Abel. It was just Abel. And when they come to bring their offerings, Cain needs the approval of God to also meet the expectations of mom. Now, you've probably heard sermons where preachers have tried to make distinctions between Cain's offering and Abel's. Cain brought an offering of the first fruit, while Abel brought the firstborn and the fat portions. But I don't think that distinction is actually there in the text. And it would set up the wrong comparisons anyway, because we're not saved by the quality of our offerings. We're not saved by our works. And that would be the natural conclusion if Cain's offering was rejected because of its quality. They both brought acceptable offerings based upon their vocations. God's lack of regard for Cain, I believe, was for its purpose, its motivation. Abel brings his simply as Abel, in thanks. He's not been weighted with the family's expectations. His offering is one of grace. Cain's is a quid pro quo. The test if God is with him. And if God is with him, he can then satisfy mom's expectations now. God, I've brought my offerings. Now you give me the strength to defeat that serpent. It's the thinking of the law. If I keep it well, God will favor me. And God has no regard for the offerings of the law. The law is good and wise, but we will never satisfy God or our family by the law. God and families are things of grace. Cain is bearing the load of being the one, which is not a load he was made to bear. It's not a load that any of us can bear. We are not the one. And bearing such a load produces the anger. But Cain can't be angry at mom. She's mom. Cain can't be angry at God. I mean, he could, but he's God. Although to master sin in this case would be to go to each one of them about their expectations. But instead, Cain takes it out on his brother. Not because of any wrong Abel had done to Cain, but out of envy. Envy at the lack of expectation. Envy at the ease of grace. Now Abel's blood calls out for justice. And the Lord is a just God. Cain is punished. But again, Cain misses the grace. He asks instead for mercy. And there's an important distinction between mercy and grace. Mercy is not receiving what we are due. Cain knows that in committing murder, he deserves a violent death himself. He asks for mercy. And the Lord is merciful. He marks Cain as a sign of his mercy that no one should kill Cain. But the problem is still that Cain is a wanderer far east of Eden, far away. What Cain needed was grace. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. And what we don't deserve is a brother who is our keeper. Yet that is what we have been given in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our brother. And he has watched over us to the extent of giving himself on that cross. As our first hymn had it, Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. We have the best older brother you can imagine. We don't deserve the pardon, but his blood has given it to us. We don't deserve a brother like Jesus. But we have been given one. We may not be a full-blown case as Cain and Abel. But as Jesus would say about the fifth commandment in the Sermon on the Mount, anyone who is angry with his brother or insults him is liable to hell. And we've all been there. All of our siblings cause us anger. If we want to argue justice, you end up with the entire world heading to hell. If you want to plead for mercy, it's a better choice. But mercy is limited to the moment. What we have is a brother looking out for us who has brought us the grace of God. In Christ, we have been given the kingdom that we never deserved. The moral question then becomes, how do we live out of that grace? And the short answer is that we follow Christ. We are our brother's keeper. What does that mean? Well, it probably starts with granting everyone in our family a bit of grace. Yes, none of them deserve it. That's the point. And this isn't a call to pay it forward. If you expect to get paid back by anyone other than God on the last day, it's not grace. You're just doing what Cain did in his offering. This is a request to put down the anger. Yes, maybe mom and dad expected more from you than was right. Forgive them. Yes, maybe your brother or your sister is a complete basket case, and you fill in the type of basket. They're still yours. Be the brother or sister they don't deserve. And don't get angry when they don't change, because they won't. Yeah, it's not right, but neither was that cross. How do we live out the grace of our brother, Jesus Christ? By trying to be graceful. Start close to home. Those families are things of grace. Eve's hope was for the man who would defeat the serpent she was defeated by. In Christ, the man has defeated Satan. But our hope is that our brother is on the heavenly throne. And one day, that kingdom will come in all of its fullness. Today, we live by grace. Sin crouches at the door. We walk in danger all the way. But tomorrow, Satan's lying ceases. Our envy and strife and jealousy will be unmasked for the foolishness they are. And our brother will welcome us home to the harvest that we couldn't produce while we wandered east of Eden. Amen.